Okay, we'll go ahead and call the common council meeting to order. It is 6:12 p.m. on Tuesday, June 9th, 2020. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weagle.
Here.
Margaret.
Here.
Griffin.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on May 12th. Are there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is the amendment to the zoning ordinance for real estate equities. Nathan?
What is proposed for you tonight is a rezoning request from the R3 residential district to GB, general business district that's located just south of Countryside Memorial Park, distinguished in a wedge between US 30 and the south side of Countryside, Kendall Drive. Real estate equity is seeking the rezoning for the purpose of developing a self-storage unit complex. A lot of different uses allowed in GE. As you know, self-storage is probably one of the few that actually makes sense at that location because of the area that the proposal went before the Planning Commission last month, received a favorable recommendation to the council with two conditions. Which I believe are noted on the staff report there. The two conditions, well, basically one condition in two parts, is that lighting and aesthetics would be reviewed explicitly during the development plan stage. Self-storage units would require development plan review, and the commission wanted to make sure that the aesthetics were addressed properly. We have view lines from US 30 with the public trail that's there. Home back up to and off of Denville Drive. So all of those different factors contributed why lighting and aesthetics, broadly spoken, were really important to include. So those are conditions that would be satisfied with the development plan before it could be satisfied during that review. So that's just a quick nutshell of the overall request. I believe the petitioner is here if you have questions for him as well.
Does that property?
Yeah. Okay. Not the whole property, but
the triangle type set.
Yeah. And I am now thinking that I did not put a map in what I said to you, so my apologies on that.
And it won't obstruct the trail.
Correct. The 50 hasn't used it, so that trail would still be there. The petitioner did indicate that if for some reason it needed to be relocated or anything like that, they would take care of doing that. The temporary failure is not something that was my indication. That what they will need is that there would be any impact on the trail. But just in case.
Question? Thoughts?
No questions. I just had a phone call from a lady that manages the trailer park with concerns about traffic and aesthetics and things that I tried to address her with the same answers that was made at the plan commission meeting. And even though I'm not sure she felt like that, but she seemed to understand, you know, that the aesthetics are one of the main priorities along with the lighting. She still was concerned a little bit about the traffic. But I said, you know, it is a storage unit. So high level of traffic, probably not going to be. It's not like people drive up and down there all the time for that. But at the same time, she was concerned about there's issues which she has, as I would like to be, you know, with the closeness of the trailers and the width of the road up there. So I just wanted to have that mentioned here.
Sure.
Will they be driving through the trailer park to access that?
It would be access out here.
Jeffy, to the, honestly, almost to the last trailer.
Yes, they did. There's a cut, yeah. But then there's like four additional trailers, and then you have an open area.
That open area.
It's the open area at the end of the Dental Drive.
Right.
Okay.
And you can come from either direction.
Gotcha.
And they're very sensitive to the aesthetics as well. Between US 30 and the facility, as well as between the facilities and the park. So,
hey, Earl, would you be willing to talk a little bit about what you guys are like, a little bit more about the project, the need for the project, things like that? I mean, I think it'd be good for the council to understand that a little bit. So. Sure, yeah. So we can get you on record.
Record, I'm not the best person to answer. A lot of detail.
Okay. Sure. So, basically, storage facility in general, and I know that to Dan's point, I've had that same individual contact me about that, and recognizing fully that it's kind of an oddly shaped piece of land, and there's probably only certain things you can do with that. I think one of the concerns we've always had, which again I recognize it was a full unanimous pass by Planning Commission, so I'm not trying to deter what they're saying, and I'm not trying to lead the council anywhere specific. But I also know in the past when we've had general business that there's been some concern about what the future could, if storage buildings aren't there anymore, what general business could be. But I do think because of it being located right next to US 30, you're never going to see you're not going to see a huge apartment complex. You're not going to see single family homes back there. So there's probably only specific uses that property could ever really have, right?
I mean, I have specials, others are looking at. There are trees there along the right-of-way.
Yep.
And there are additional trees.
Sure. The area that right now is kind of, I'm going to call it a little like moundy back there. That's probably a terrible word, but and I know there's some scrub trees and stuff back there. So if the project came in, I'm assuming that would be all leveled off, and that's where that would be one of the areas that you know I'm talking about. Yeah, sort of. That generally be where it's at.
Yeah.
Position.
There's some areas that have been stockpiled of, I don't know.
Fill or whatever.
Fill, yeah.
Sure.
And that would be where this is located.
Yeah.
And then there's an old gravel pit area to the east, right along the flood line, and that would not be included.
Gotcha.
So part of this would be ripped off into that area.
Yep.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but the developer is the same company, corporation, who has built the apartment, the yellow apartments around different facilities.
I honestly don't know anything about that. They may or may not.
I wasn't
involved with the developer. If they did, the same developer, the same company that built the other shorts.
Oh, back along Liberty, those other areas.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the same company that originally started the mobile home company does not own that.
Yep. Different buildings itself, so the units would be a part of that.
Do you foresee, this is kind of a huge question, do you foresee any impact with what may or may not happen with 30?
Well,
That's a good question. My gut tells me that that section will probably remain where what it is and where it's at. You know, if you get too much closer to 9, there may be additional issues, but I think where this piece of property is, frankly, I think really anything to the west of Demone Grimes, that's going to be where you're going to have probably the major disturbances. But I think where this property is, I don't see that 30 would be impacted one way or another with this.
Okay.
So, good question. Other questions? Okay. Thank you. So, in front of you for that is ordinance number 2020-20. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Jan, seconded by Chad. For the discussion? I'm sorry. I apologize. I think I've read the wrong one.
Is that
2019,
right?
I went too far. I apologize. Will you rescind your motion, Dan?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Chad, rescind your second. Thank you. I apologize. Poor leadership. Do you have a motion to read ordinance 2020-19 by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Chad. For the discussion, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2020-19 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-19, an ordinance amending the zone classification of certain property from the R3 multifamily residential district to the GB general business district.
Okay. Any thoughts on the ordinance itself? Been well, two readings on this ordinance as well. Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-19 on first reading?
So moved.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Chad. For the discussion, all those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading at the next meeting. Thank you. Okay, next up is a rezoning off of the north end of Valley River Drive. Nathan.
Correct. What is being requested is a rezoning from R3 for a proposed extension essentially of Valley River Drive by Ryzen Real Estate. The purpose is to have basically another subdivision, mostly single family. However, they would have provision for up to 4 lots of two family dwelling. The reason for the rezoning from R2 to R3 is there are two major differences between the two districts. One is that R3 allows for multifamily uses. The other is R3 allows for smaller lot sizes, lot area, lot width. They committed to, and as a condition of the ordinance, would be a written commitment needs to be reported to not allow multifamily. So if multifamily being anything more than two units is okay, and would be permitted under R2 currently. So they committed to that as part of the rezoning that's approved. So the basic reason for requesting the rezoning is to get some benefit of slightly smaller lot sizes to allow for a few more lots in the proposed subdivision. What's being proposed, again, apologies for not including the map, but they proposed a class that basically L-shaped, dog leg, whatever you want to call it, due north and then eastward stuff over into and develop area. Probably be developed in the next 10 years, maybe.
I'm sorry, did you say dog leg left?
Dog leg east.
Oh, east. Okay. So is the idea then that there would be potentially another connection on the east side then?
Correct.
Okay.
Currently under the code, zoning code, and a subdivision code, any other sub street from an existing subdivision, new subdivision has to so on for accessibility and connectivity.
That's what I'm asking.
So this is a reflection of that discussion. The original proposal that was done about 10 years ago, maybe longer, was just simply a long pole set, which would have been overlaying and not compliant with purpose. So adding the dog leg to the 7-3 actually makes it compliant, as well as being the connectivity that Steve discussed.
Okay. What is the, so you talked about the smaller lot sizes. What's the difference between a normal lot size and these? In a normal subdivision, when you're going to have multiple houses, obviously there's going to be some kind of setback or some kind of a lot line difference there. So I guess my question is, you said there's smaller lot size, lot lines. Lot size, what does that mean?
Well, they're still normal. The R3 is still a normal zone here.
Okay.
And they're not asking for variances or anything.
Okay.
They're just going to R2,
yeah,
which allows for the allows for 50-foot wide lots to R3, which allows for 50-foot wide lots.
Okay.
And smaller lot areas as well. Most of the lots that are being proposed in this subdivision plat, but most of the lots well exceed the minimum.
Okay.
So I didn't run the averages, but for the most part, if you're just driving through, it will visually look very similar to the rest of the valley river and surrounding area.
I just don't want to have a Burke Street. That's my point. I don't want to have a Burke Street. Okay. Okay.
I can't guarantee that, but I do.
Well, obviously, but anything that if they were going to go even smaller than that, which is what Burke Street is, they'd have to go get variances, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Or come up with a DVD or something.
That's my point.
Okay. When I went over the plat on the subdivision, I don't think there's anything under 55 acres.
Okay.
I think it's all 55 acres.
Okay. Good. So I don't have a concern about that.
And we talked about driveways and sidewalks, and so they're acceptable.
Good. Good.
Okay. See, that's what we call our hazard belt.
Yeah.
Is there any comments from neighbors?
There were comments that were brought up at the planning commission, and those were primarily about drainage, which appear to be the comments that were coming about drainage for the people in Valley River down here at the south end. Most of those, in my estimation, would be addressed with development. Because as you develop something, you direct where the water goes. So largely those should be dealt with. I can't for likely remember any negative comments regarding lot size, discussion about driveways and so on, but nothing specific to basically the difference between R2 and R3. Concerns over multifamily, that's where the commitment came from. And once that was made clear, those comments were allayed.
I believe the multifamily will be the first two locations as you enter the street, one on the right side, one on the left side, and that's where they're looking to build the multi.
That would be the two minimum.
Right. Yeah. And from there down, there'll be no more.
The last is currently the front. Multifamily and being three units for one. Two families would be standard.
Brookstead neighborhood probably look like the ones over on Elsworth Street next to across from the
Bluebell.
Bluebell. Those look really nice. And they also said the driveways were going to be like 2 foot wider to help accommodate a lot more parking. The adjustments that they seem to make, the road's already 34 wide out there, and that's a big asset too. It looked like this is.
We shouldn't have problems with emergency vehicles taking through there.
Yeah, before. Okay. Now, yeah, like the ordinance would change also for that.
Do you have any sense, Nathan, of like the house size or
the
price range or anything like that?
To ask that at the rezoning stage is a little non-clear. That's why you have zoning standards. But the minimum house size for R3 would be 950 square feet.
Other questions? Okay.
So, Jane, you have all seen the
plat, proposed plat.
Are you guys still comfortable with what you're seeing? I mean, it sounds like it, but I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah, I kind of questioned the width, because that's where, it's like I tried to tell them, like, you know, being developers, you guys, you know, the more lots you get, the more money you get, and the same way with the city, you know, with the more houses built, we get more revenue from taxes and the water, so we're the whole nine yards, but it's a real fact to deal with the people that live that close together.
Yeah.
There's usually problems, and we have to deal with that stuff. And when he showed us that, you know, they weren't going down to 50 foot. I mean, I know 5 foot doesn't sound like a lot, but it is when, you know, we're trying to, people are going to want to put fences out, they're going to do all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we all know when we get people that tight together, that there's going to be personality issues that we deal with. And that's one of the things that I was questioning when they came forth and when they showed us 55 feet. You know, that's better than what I was expecting on when I left the class, so
just do it now.
More comfortable than also widening the driveway. Because I question the depth of the driveway versus the other cars you put in there before they end up over the sidewalk. You know, I try to widen that.
Well, that's why I said I don't want another Birch Street where there's zero lot lines, effectively.
Or ever.
And again, you know, again, the question about emergency entrance for ambulances and fire trucks, and that has been an ongoing discussion, not just for that street, but how do we connect them so there's more than one way into that. And until that development continues, they'll have the ability to turn around and come back at the end of the street. So, I mean, I think it was eight of us there, one stepped out of Bodie, and all of us are eight temporary diverse backgrounds, and so we really picked it apart. And so I'm comfortable with what I see, but I'm also willing to say, hey, we need to table this so you can see the plat or have them come in and draw. I mean, that's okay too.
I'm trying to remember here. Will Board of Works approve the plat? Okay, so there'll still be another round, if you will, of us overseeing it. Not you guys, but Board of Works overseeing it. You know, again, I don't have a problem necessarily with the rezoning in and of itself. I just want to make sure that to Dan's point, I just don't want people to be on top of each other.
Yeah, that's what I did. So. Yeah, I'm not opposed to it, right? So I want to.
And our street trucks start to cloud.
That was something you did ask. And Mr. Walker, the engineer, that was capable of doing.
It's not ideal as a full color school to have, but again, a relatively temporary name.
And that's until they come to the
right. If they didn't fight in, they didn't give any issue that if the next day the raising was currently not quite well, next day probably will be sooner than later for the freeze, which I'm not there.
But if you could send us a map, and then we can make sure everybody gets one at any given time.
It would really help if we were going to make decisions to see maps of things.
Yeah, and the zoning part that in the plat itself, so normally you guys don't see plat, so obviously it's just a discussion. One other point of reference, I guess, Chesapeake and Cambridge, which are still under development, those are zoned are pretty well. And they similarly have a lot of fees and minimums up there. These won't be quite as big, but again, same thing.
But I think it's important, obviously, recognizing fully that we need different types of products for our different types of citizens, different economic levels, etc. So, I I'm not opposed to it by any means. I have vowed to myself and to other people that we won't make that same mistake as we did on Birch Street, where you could reach reach out and touch the house next to you basically out the window. So that's my primary point. So I don't mean to prolong the discussion. I just want to make sure the ideas are pretty clear about.
I'll go ahead and send the current version of the plan to you guys in the week here. I just think it's sort of referencing it. It's not your call on that, but
Here's my suggestion, Council. I'd like to keep it moving preferentially. You still have another reading in 2 weeks. So if after you see the plat you're questionable at that point, then we can always table it or figure that out again. So if you're okay with that, I don't want to rush you, but I think since we have basically a month to kind of process this, you know.
Could somebody representing them come in here?
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2020-20 on first reading? I'm sorry. Can I have a motion to read ordinance 2020-20 by title only? Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan for the discussion. All those in favor, show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2020-20 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-20, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from the R2 Family Residential District to the R3 Multifamily Residential District.
Okay. Obviously, we've talked it out, but if anybody has any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Yeah, comment with you. I mean, how can if somebody's got a question, how would you like to proceed answering that question? Do you want it to come from the planning commission, or do you want us to? I mean, I'm just looking for directions.
So after you send us a plat, if one of the council members has a question.
Well, we're going to address it again in 2 weeks. So.
Yeah.
But that'd give you time to maybe look at it ahead of time.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Out of the interest of open door laws, I think you shouldn't talk amongst yourselves.
Sure.
Send me directly a question. And if I can, or if I'm generally tax direction prepared. Or, as you mentioned, well, research and bring back the answer later or do things on what that's appropriate.
Okay. Sounds good.
Great. I think reaffirm the council would really like to have a representative here that can answer some questions potentially. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-20 on first reading?
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Walt for discussion. All those in favor should be on time. It is unanimous. We'll move it to second reading.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Nathan.
I guess one other quick update. Right now, the department is burning through permits. We're about 22% above average year to date for number of permits. Revenue is not quite that high. So this is right now second only to 2017 in terms of total number of permits. And compared to last year, which was extremely slow starting, the mayor knows I had concern beginning of last year that we were going to have a really off year. The department experience, there's a lot of smaller things coming on, people who've been at home wanting to do smaller projects, debt additions in barns and so on. And so, we're kind of small, but a lot of permits coming through. And decisions like the Oakland City, they've got several coming up. And we're starting to pick up on new things as well as the rain getting in the day. We have about 5 or 6 coming in the last few days that are still in the same stage. So that's all for good time.
Great.
Any other questions for you?
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to do a, while Nathan was talking, I wanted to do an update to see where we were on our census response rate. We're at 73.4%. The Indiana average is 65%. So our people are doing, residents are doing good at responding. I think we're actually one of the higher, actually, I think we're like the top 10 highest county in response rate. And I think from a city perspective, we're up there too. So it's really good. Single family housing to population to census. That's how I got there. That was the rabbit trail for the record. So. You could only see inside my brain. Okay, next up is the compliance with statement of benefits for real estate improvements. Dale is here to talk through some of these. I know some of you had concerns. I'm sorry. You had concerns about some of these different statement of benefits, the CF1 forms. Or SB1s, I guess. So I know that you've made some phone calls and been talking to some people from our last meeting, Dale, so I want to give you that opportunity.
Yeah, we'll be able to go to the meeting. Hello, pleasure to be here. So there's a couple of issues. I think some people have been slow getting in here. Confusion over hearing, you know, the May 15th deadline was, you know, since June 15th. Some people are using every last minute of that. I wish they wouldn't. So there's been an issue of some getting in here. Last meeting, there were two in particular. One was the Dunn's building, and then another one was the VR Real Estate. I talked to both individuals. They weren't available to call in here tonight, but talking discreetly with the mayor this morning, I believe there was, it looks like the assessment value was a little low on both of those things. So that and I won't be swinging. So we will make sure he gets his filled out, I'll feel better about that moving forward. There was an issue a couple with Precision Plastics that has been signed with Julie. I'm trying to connect with her. I don't know if she felt she sent those into the auditor, and they haven't made their way over.
No, they went to the. Yes, and she will not let those come back to us.
Okay, I will be sure it's not me and some of you or something. I don't think that.
She's not allowed to give those back out.
Why?
Because she says it's got personal information that she can't reveal. I said, well, they were supposed to come to us. They need our signatures. She said, I'm sorry, they have to get you another copy. She told me that last year, too. So, they're late.
Okay.
And then just a couple others. So, you know, I'm kind of rambling here. I don't know if there's any specific ones, but like maybe NC Enterprise, while we have the VR Realty as an air portion of it, I informed Mr. Pigby with that.
Yep.
So between Rosie and I, we're talking, at least I'm rest of the town doesn't want to call that much, but I'm not sure how to see where this occurred at all as far as the employment.
Yeah. I know that, and again, not speaking on his behalf by any means, but I know in the past there was discussion. I know that he has brought forward discussion about the fact that, you know, first of all, the salaries are much more than they were anticipating. Salaries are much more than anticipating. They did have some issues regarding, you know, the employment. Certainly that back section was not full, or it was kind of come and go, things like that. Again, not trying to defend him, but I know that he said that in the past, that factors like that, that, you know, they anticipate a certain amount of people to be full-time employees there, and those didn't end up being full-time, they ended up being part-time and things like that. So,
So these will not get approved. I mean, these are okay, but I mean, even if they get them in Monday, they won't get approved till the next meeting. So, but they've been late before. As long as we approve.
Well, is the deadline to submit them June 15th, or is the deadline for us to approve them June 15th?
Well, originally it was May 15th. And I guess, have they pushed it back to June?
I wish I knew the exact answer to your question.
Yeah.
But everybody's treating it like my kids. You know, they're going to see their respect.
And again, as I mentioned to you earlier, Dale, and I'll continue to kind of make this statement, but at the end of the day, it is not the Economic Development Corporation's job to track these down. We are not paying the Economic Development Corporation. They are not getting a tax abatement. The tax abatement is on the company. The company needs to be the one that is responsible with their accountants to make sure that these are filed in the appropriate time frame. And every form that is either delayed or not represented has the ability to be denied by the City Council for a year's worth of abatement.
And just for everybody's reference, I appreciate that, Mayor. Even the DEC, every one of these people are copied to the post office and are in the media messages.
And it's an every day, every year, every year.
It's really good. Maybe it's just not that important to them.
Yeah, I think it would be a priority for them.
Yeah, if it's not, then maybe it's not.
And I set my priorities for people. I'm
going to
call back to my company that
it's
important. I call
back like, yeah, they're supposed to have them filed with us and with the county by May 15th, the original day. But yeah, it's like pulling teeth every year, and I don't think
so. I guess maybe, and I'm probably shotgunning this, and I'm probably out of line here, but I would maybe suggest that maybe next year when it comes to the time that we see what forms come in at the time and you guys don't worry about it. I don't understand why you should have to babysit your own company to make sure that they are turning in their forms on time. I bet they turn their tax forms on time, and if not, they get in trouble.
Right?
I don't understand why an abatement form, in fact, where we're effectively saying you don't have to pay taxes on this portion of your, you know, your taxes. You don't pay this portion. I just don't understand why that's not that important. Now, again, I'm just specifically talking about those that, you know, either haven't turned in the form or those that you had to hound. I mean, I appreciate the ones that we've gotten up to this point. I know you guys both put in a bunch of work on this. So, it certainly, when I was taking under advice, I'm just saying for next year, I would, you know, send out, well, maybe you know, we're gonna do this, but maybe send out one reminder, and they're on their own. I mean, Council, this is really your decision, but I just, every year, and I'm going off now, every year we have this discussion. Every year we want people to be here to talk about their company and to be able to share their success, and we want to celebrate their success with them. And every year the EDC director and the clerk have to go back and try to get their paperwork for money that they're saving.
It only takes 1 year for them to get it.
Yeah. There's a financial impact to doing the right thing.
Right.
If it's, you know, year number 10 or if it's year number 5.
But,
sure. Yeah. Bottom line.
Yep.
I think they'll learn. To be honest,
me too.
So I will continue to communicate closely with Rosie and clean up as much as we can. And this issue next year, we'll make the letter a little more center. And,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
So we're going to let the cards fall where they fall at this point in time, and then next year reevaluate our process.
Yes.
Again, Columbia City for years has been very business friendly, and we've done things from a permitting standpoint where the city and county have gone together to help Nathan and before him. I remember this before Nathan. There was a gal here and then Dave, but I mean we supported the permitting excellence to try to tighten that process up to make sure that, you know, we're doing everything we can to make it streamlined in the permitting process. We have done, you know, lots of work from an economic development standpoint here and gone through our tax abatement process. And I mean, we've tried to do lots of things to be business friendly in Columbia City. And I don't think this should be looked at as being not business friendly. I think it should be looked at as it's a responsibility of the business owner if they want that abatement to look for them. Okay.
And next year, obviously in 2020, which is 21,
right,
21, but I should be impacted by what happened
sure.
in 2020.
Sure.
Either, you know, through the COVID events and people didn't
right. go
or whatever. So that will impact the number of people. I'm a millionaire. I had to close the door. I don't know. I'm just saying, time will tell.
I'm off my setup. Okay. So stick around. We may have more questions. You never know. Okay. So first up for the compliance statement of benefits is BR Real Estate LLC. This is something that this is the one that one of them that you tabled from last time. Again, I know Dale has worked with them a little bit trying to get some information and stuff from them in that regard. I guess if you have any questions about the BR Real Estate, Dale may try to be able to answer that.
Yeah, like I said, I talked to his son, and his son actually filled out the forms, but he couldn't really tell him a whole lot more about some of the things tonight.
And that was for the Verizon building or the BR Real Estate?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're talking about Kerr, aren't you?
I'm talking about Kerr.
Yeah.
No, he went on about the additional expenses he had.
Sure. So BR Real Estate, if you're unaware, is the Verizon and Jimmy John's, and I think there's Coldwell Bank here. Yeah, there. So
So I think there was a question about why would the assessed value so much lower than the actual cost, if he put a net number in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's still being given.
Yep. Questions about that one? Do I have a motion to approve the CF1 form for BR Real Estate finding in compliance? Motion by Jenny, seconded by Kat for the discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Next up is the other BR Real Estate. This is the am I on the same one here? Okay, I'm sorry. Yep, I was looking at the same form twice. Next is Burnham Kerr. This is real estate improvements. Do we know what year this one is in, by the way, Rosie? I meant to ask you about
that. Yeah, it's it expires in 23.
Okay.
And it was a 10-year.
Okay. Questions regarding Burnham Kerr?
This is the one you tried to talk to the...
Yeah, probably. So he did tell me about it.
If it's doing part-time and full-time workers.
So it looks like it's a substantial number of part-time employees.
Yeah. And I... So when this one was put forward, this is the question mark for me, and this has been the question mark on this form for a couple of years for me. when we did this abatement, there was nothing in that building. Am I correct, Rosie?
Yeah, it was an empty
building. It was an empty building.
But what used to be Scott? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I'm saying when we started this abatement, it was empty.
Oh, yeah.
So the current number of employees at that time should have been zero, because there was zero businesses and stuff in there. So I've always wondered of why they started with a current number of employees of being 30, when in actuality started with zero, and it really should be 0 to 16. So I don't know how they came up with those numbers. And you know, if Jeff were here, he probably could answer those questions for us. But I know when we started this abatement, there was zero employees. So again, I don't know how that happened, but for Burnham Kerr, we have that one, and then I think we have the, is it just that one, or did we have, yeah, that, oh, and then we have the Dollar Tree one. So there's two of them there.
Label Shopper.
So my question is, with all those businesses that are separate businesses,
sure,
in that building,
sure.
I guess you
need more
than
15. Oh, sure. Sure. And that's why I don't know if they counted the, like, that's why I don't know if they counted those on the additional employees line or what the deal is.
Yeah, is that part of the 58?
Yeah. It's almost like, and maybe this is something you can do, Dale, for us, is, I mean, is there some way that we can try to explain this form better to our, when they take out an abatement?
Yeah, absolutely, because I was asking for these from that. That's not, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to investigate that. It's my first time going through this. I'm learning quite a bit.
Sure.
It actually might be maybe explaining the numbers, though, because Wayne Center is probably not giving out the true financials to business,
yeah,
and the Label Shopper and Dunk. They're not giving
Well, I remember in the past, when I don't want to belabor this point, but I remember in the past when Jeff came in front of us, he had said basically that issue is that the reason why he had been late in the past is because one of those companies had not given the financial information on time. So like they had maybe Label Shopper and Wings, but they didn't have done them, so that, you know, whatever that case was. So neither here nor there, but I know that he does rely on those companies to give data so that he can fill this form out. So, okay, sorry to labor that point. Anything else you want to discuss on this one? Okay.
So is this round one review on this one?
Nope. Well, there's only one review on CF1.
Oh, yeah.
Or SC1s or whatever they are. I never remember the name. One shot. Okay, do I have a motion to approve Burnham Kerr, Columbia City LLC, for real estate improvements, abatements, and find them in compliance?
So which one are we doing?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. This is the real estate improvements. Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we do accept what we see, because I think we're having a hard time even to coach the business of what they need to do. So we don't know what needs to be done, and they don't know what to do. The scales tilt on nervous on their side a little bit to give them, even though we've given breaks here, but I don't want to discourage our, you know, let's work through this issue. If it's not correct, then we know next year is going to be a different process. So I'll make the motion that we move forward with Dunham's.
Okay. Motion by Walt, seconded by Tad. Further discussion.
Just that this has been going on for how many years, and finally now, hopefully by next year, we'll have our actual way of them to just
right.
Put the data. Because he's only got, 3 years left on a 10-year abatement? No, and finally,
he's
going to tell us how to do it.
For our phone call.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of both sides' fault, you know, in one way.
And when they do their SC1s, they're only putting down what they're estimating their employees are going to be.
When they originally fill out,
when they originally fill it out,
yeah,
it's an estimate, it's not what they have. And then when they fill it out for the current, they're supposed to put what they actually want. So they could be higher or lower, depending on what they're
And again, I still say, I don't know how they started with 30 employees in a vacant building. But
their salaries, they estimated super low in the actual.
But it wasn't, high. They didn't start with 30. That was their estimate. When they filed their SP1, they estimated their.
Current, I know, but it says estimated current employees. Current number of employees. Like I get.
Which?
Okay, I'm sorry. On the, under section 3 of CF1. Whatever page, that, yeah, I don't. But where this current number of employees,
yeah,
is estimated at 30.
So that is.
But that should be zero.
It throws you off.
Yeah.
There's, they estimate from the SB1 how many employees they think they're going to have. That shouldn't really say current.
No, I mean, it should. I mean, I get it. If they're putting 30 under number of additional employees estimated,
yeah,
I'm totally there. I just don't know how you say 30 current employees in a vacant building.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to kid you.
I think we're in violent agreement with this form.
I think so, too.
That's very true. Very true. So, okay, so I have a motion and I have a second. I think, do I have a second?
Yeah.
Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. And those opposed? Okay. So I have Tad, Walt, Jenny, and Dan in agreement, and Jennifer in opposition. Next up is the Burnham Kerr for Dollar Tree. Those numbers look a little better. Again, I don't know how you have 12 current employees on a vacant piece of property, but so it goes. Well, that's if
should be zero or
if
those are the same salaries that are posted on the previous application. I mean, the other SB1, you look at the salary, they're identical and smaller and less.
Yep. They put the salary amount. They put all, frankly, all those numbers on both pages.
I'm not sure he understands. I've been taking it for granted that we're just going to go ahead and say, yeah, because this just like they doesn't make sense. Yeah. Even as difficult as it as this is to fill out,
right?
Still doesn't make sense.
I mean, full disclosure on this one. So I have, obviously I have a lot of questions about the other form. This one though was a blank piece of land that they built the Dollar Tree on that now has, you know, 800,000. Well, I don't know if that's right. Well, maybe it is. $800,000 of assessed valuation there, if that's true. Well, no, I don't know about the assessed valuation. Hold on, I'll tell you in a second. But the point is that, I mean, this one I have a little less issue with because of the fact that it is a, it was a vacant piece of property that now has a building on, that now has a store on, et cetera.
Well, I don't understand the number of employees for that facility. I don't see how you're going to continue to multiply employees in that type of a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to stay pretty standard.
That's probably the part-time headcount.
So, just so you're all aware, that total property, if you include Burnham, all the Burnham Kerr property, so you include Dunham, Label Shopper, Dollar Tree, etc., has a total assessed valuation of $1.95 million. That's the total assessed valuation. That is up from, well, when was Dollar Tree built? Do you remember? When is this abatement over? Or when did it start?
It started in 15.
In 15, okay. So if that's the case, in 2017, which is the best I can give you right now and then, 2017, the total assessed valuation for that property was 1.48. So it's gone up $500,000, basically, a little under $500,000 since 17. The abatement, Yeah, I don't know how they're doing that, so. But. So it's up to you. Whatever you want to do.
Actually, before you do anything, this is approved at the last meeting. It shouldn't even been in there.
Oh, the Dollar Tree was? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I noticed you had signed it.
Oh, yeah, I did sign it.
And it was approved at the last meeting. It was the very first one that was held up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Let me get all that, I guess. Next up is the... Yeah, we didn't have any motions or seconds on that one, right?
No.
Okay. So next up is the compliance statement of benefits, personal property for BC Jones Plating, also known as CNR Plating. Thank you. Dale, I don't know if you know anything about this. Obviously, there's a decline there.
I do not.
Okay. So I think this was done in 2015. Was that the same year that they had the fire? Or 16 years? Do you remember?
I think it was
pretty close.
I think if I remember right, they built that brand new building and then they had the fire.
Yeah.
So.
It was about a year or so after.
Mm-hmm.
It's still probably about that.
My guess is what they did is they took their estimated 72 salaries and they subtracted 10 of those salaries, or 10, I'm sorry, 72 employees, they subtracted 10 of those to get the 62 employees total. And so when it comes to additional employees, that's why they showed the negative. Now the nice thing is that their wages are about, I mean, they're about equal from what they, we just, so they're paying the people better. Again, I think this probably would have been a great time for that representative to be here to talk through that a little bit. Thoughts? Do I have a motion to approve? Go ahead.
I have a motion to come in.
Mm-hmm. Have you had communication with them?
Sure. We can do whatever the council plans.
I think we've asked that. Maybe not with you.
I don't, yeah, I agree. I don't think he's in this company. But.
I would go
June 15th is still the magic date, right?
Okay. Well, that's what they're saying. They need to have an end by.
So I'm just saying if we table it, I just want to make sure we don't...
We won't have another meeting for the 23rd.
Well, that...
But it's already turned in, so...
Yeah, so does that have to be turned in by the 15th? Or does that be approved by the
15th? That has to be over there at the courthouse by then.
What signatures?
We can always... There's been some that's been late. Like even a month late, and they'll let them go through as long as the council approves it.
Yeah.
We can table this one.
So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'd just be curious. Yeah, I'll ask them if we
have a okay. We all in agreement?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll table Casey Jones Plating until the next meeting and request a representative. That's stat sheet, but the original one. Okay. Next up is Brindley Properties. On Tower View. Is this quality inspection?
Yeah.
One of those two or three? Questions on this one?
Looks pretty good.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the compliance statement of benefits for Brindley Properties LLC and find them in compliance? Motion by Jennifer.
Second.
Second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
Yeah,
that's four and a half, right?
Whoa. You can take for a whole long
time. I just bring my umbrella in. Okay, next one is Quality Inspection Gig, QIG, LLC, for a personal property. Is this the same one?
Can I say a second one for Brindley?
Yeah, no, this is QIG.
Oh,
QIG. Yeah, they have two separate. Yeah, I don't know how they do it, but there's
that's
two
like
separate.
It's the same numbers, though, isn't it?
Say what?
Just the same numbers, even? Estimated and actual?
I believe it is the same numbers. So, one is for renovation of lab space, and I'm sorry. Okay, so the Brindley Properties was a real estate.
Oh, so the information.
And the QIG is personal property.
The information would probably be the same.
Because they're talking about real estate versus personal property. Right. Yep. Yep.
So it's two different businesses.
No.
Magically the same numbers.
Yep. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve QIG LLC statement of benefits and find them in compliance?
So moved.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Ted. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is Precision Plastics.
Okay, now the only one I have on Precision Plastics, I have them all on here, but I only got...
Real estate.
Yeah, the 217-17. Or the one in 17.
Okay, we have...
Personal property.
Wait a minute. See, we have Precision Plastics real estate in front of us on our agenda for, and that's the 2014 one, for the additional warehouse space.
No, I got them out of order.
This one says filed May 12th, 2020.
Yeah, see they this went to the auditor and she gave it back to me.
Oh. Okay.
But
so we'll take
that's real property.
Yeah, well so we'll take the real property under we'll take this and then go to the impact agency. So you do or do not have personal property.
No, this is the only one I have.
The real estate one. Okay. So in front of you is Precision Plastics Real Estate Improvement Statement of Benefits. Questions on that? Comments? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the compliance of statement of benefits for Precision Plastics and find them in compliance?
Second.
Motion by Ted, second by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is Impact C&C LLC. This is... I think this is the wrong form.
I think there's two of them.
There is two, yes. I just want to make sure that those aren't two separate, though. There's only one, right? It's the personal property one. Is that the one?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's ICNC personal property.
The one I'm looking at.
Yeah, I'm just making sure there's not more than one already. I'm sorry. Well, I was looking right for you. Okay.
Yeah, there's one for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm, so MPAT CNC has two, one from 2014 and one from 2007.
Right.
Correct? Okay. That's what I wanted to ask. Okay. Okay, so we'll take the 2014 one, I guess. I think that's the first one. Am I right about that? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're going to have similar numbers on both. I haven't looked at the other one recently, but. Questions about impact CNC, personal property, the 2014 abatement? It had 5-1 and 15.
Yes, the one and the actual are tremendously different. And there's head count.
Yes. $3 million and about what? 200.
Yeah. Probably should clarify it just to make sure it's still valid.
What do you mean clarify it? The numbers?
Yeah, on the employees and veterans salary numbers.
Mm-hmm. I think you also remember the part of that, and I think it was this one, but we also did an economic development incentive for them based on how many workers they were going to employ.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that's what I thought. So, for every 20 employees they hired, I think they got a chunk of money from CFP. So, I have a motion to find Impact CNC LLC in compliance with the statement of benefits in compliance for their 2014 personal property abatement.
So moved.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is the personal property for, is that 16?
Is this the one with the really hard to read grayed out areas?
The what?
The gray out areas.
I'm going to say I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. I apologize.
It's just when you look.
Oh, gotcha.
It's just, it's highlighted. And it's gray.
Got
yeah,
it.
And then it's just really hard to read.
I see what you're saying. Well, it's under that one. Is that what you're saying?
Okay.
This is page 62. How about we start there? You can get page 62.
It's not telling the page.
Oh, okay. Not helpful, but okay. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve Impact CNC's statement of benefits for personal property and find them in compliance? Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor, by the usual sign. It is unanimous. I think that's it for abatements, right?
Yes.
I think Mark's face doesn't all. Okay. Next up is the position description. Next up is the position description.
These are all mayor.
So we'll go through each of these, but Scott, do you want to kind of give just an overview of all of these and the reasons?
I'll do
the reason behind it.
Can you read job responsibilities?
I'll read these and everyone of them.
The job description for the police department had not been updated since 1995. And so went through and tried to get them all formatted the same. And based on, they're all the ones that are based on the included the job description of a patrol officer. So a lot of them didn't have that stuff. So each one of them will have that this position must help to complete all the tasks and duties and responsibilities of a patrol officer. So the basic functions of the position, and then they'll have additional functions for that additional position. So the only real name change is for deputy chief, which is what we call captain. It used to be previously, in the past here at the department, it was assistant chief, and that's what deputy chief was described in statute as an appointed position as the mayor. So we're just going back to deputy chief, it's still the captain position, and I've put in some specific tasks. It includes all the stuff that was in the captain before, but it's added some things to where he's assisting the chief and directing to the chief, and then he would, or that he or she would take over that position in the absence of the chief. So, and it's pointing in there, and it's just, so every one of these, they pretty much include what we had before, but describe in much more detail specific mental and physical characteristics that are required to do the job, and then some qualifications, like completing the academy, which were in those before. So there's nothing super miraculous about those before. And I've run these by Beth, and she's looked at them and said they look good. Just make sure that you don't do the house and look at them.
So will the name of those positions immediately change, or?
The deputy chief? Yeah. I mean, we'll change it once they're all approved and put in there, and Rosie has them to put in the books, and Beth has them. And then we'll just change the name the rest of them are the same. The patrol officer by statute, or by pension, is patrol officer first class, is what the pension calls it.
Well, the salary ranges change because the definition does.
They're not really additional duties than what they're already required to do. It's just.
Yeah. I think what he's saying is does the. Does the salary range document have to change to include the deputy chief portion rather than it saying captain? That's what they're asking.
Yeah, that, right. There is no deputy chief in the salary range.
So do we need to change the salary ordinance to include that rather than captain? Or do we want to just make the position name effective, January 1 of next year?
And we could.
I mean, I don't care.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter.
You know?
But I think if you just add names to it and say, well, I'm not going to use this category anymore, 5 years from now, it's still in dock. And all of a sudden now I've got a captain.
When we do the new salary ordinance, that one change all those titles.
Sure.
But currently, I mean, if he wants to change their title and they sign them, the new job description, if the title has changed, if you want to change the salary ordinance, you can.
It's just an administrative change.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And really, to Scott's point, it's really more than anything else, it's just a change. It's just a name change from captain to deputy chief, which is effectively what Gary's role is now anyways. He does fill in when Scott's gone. I call Gary, and he's... Yeah.
And if we have a document of what we're doing, then...
Yeah.
And I'll make sure that the salary ordinance is changed.
Well, I guess the question is, I don't know if this is a Rose question, a Marcia question, or whatever, but, if the council approves this job description and this title change effectively, with other changes, of course, I understand, I don't want to diminish the work that you've done, but if that's put into the minutes, that change has occurred, do we really need to go change the ordinance to reflect that if we know that we're changing mid-year, changing the title?
You said he added some new stuff too.
Yeah, no, I understand. I guess I'm saying we're not adding a captain. We're just changing the captain's role to deputy chief. So I guess my question is, since that's in the minute, since that is something I'm assuming that the council would approve, do we really have to change the salary ordinance since it's already in public record as that change of name halfway through the year? No, you don't believe we have to change the salary ordinance?
Okay.
I just don't want to go through a whole other administrative staff.
Yeah, you're not adding anything, you're not changing the salary column or anything else.
There's not really any additional stuff that he isn't doing already. He's just noted in here.
Tell me about that. I think what Walt is saying is, let's just make sure we do this change so we don't have all these duplicate
things.
And I think that's what you're
saying.
Right. Let's do get a change at least for next year.
Oh, yeah.
And the old ones will get taken out of our job description book.
Well, unless I misunderstood you, I thought you said that you assigned him some other duties. Or are you taking duties maybe away from one and giving to somebody else? I'm not sure.
No. It's stuff he already does that the captain has done. It just really wasn't noted in.
There wasn't clarity in the old.
There wasn't really clarity. They were really very thin on what they kind of left it open because they had a category that said all other assigned duties. And like our job description for patrolmen, it was very. It didn't have specifics of what's required. It's like the most difficult thing in that is often being able to make forceful arrests. That was the only physical requirement, so must have the ability to make forceful arrests. Couldn't say they had built a type or have the minimal ability to solve cases or anything like that. So it's not really anything more than he's doing, it just writes it down. Deputy chief should be able to do these. And so, he would take over in my absence, And essentially that's what the position is. When you look at the statutes, it says the mayor appoints the appointed deputy chiefs and chief. So it's just a name change somewhere down the road because we have piles of assistant chief badges from the days when there was an assistant chief.
Okay, thank you.
Question on the deputy chief? Do I have a motion to approve the job description for deputy chief?
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is probationary police officer.
Well, probationary police officer just matches up with patrol officer, except it adds in language of pick a learning position. But they're during the time as a probationary officer in that year, that they have to get same with our other descriptions that they have to make it through the academy that meets statutory requirements of the law enforcement training board, but it's a learning position to learn all the functions of a patrol officer, which is our base document for this whole thing, that the patrol officer definition made it much more specific on spelling out all the functions that they're required to do and the abilities they should have. And we just put it in the document instead of saying they have that ability to make a household arrest.
Motion to approve probationary patrol officer.
Second.
Motion by Jennings, seconded by Chad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is patrol officer.
Same thing.
Okay. Motion to approve patrol officer position description.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is, we gotta get there, patrol sergeant.
And patrol sergeant, same thing spelled out. It also requires them to be, I added that they will be instructors. Because their job is to teach their patrol. So a general instructor, so they'll be general. No additional pay. It's just they're required as part of the job to be a general instructor certified by the state to teach all the officers that work for them. And that's about it. And then do all the duties of them. And then the mayor pointed out one thing, that there's a little bit of language where it says, you know, the definition is patrol officer, but there's police sergeant, or patrol sergeant, but it says police sergeant. I would just change that and get them updated.
So which one? Are you gonna be
patrol sergeant.
Patrol sergeant, okay. So in the language under job responsibilities where it says police sergeant, that's where he's talking about. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve patrol sergeant position description? Motion by Jennifer, second by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. SRO.
SRO, I took the old one and just cleaned it up because it was written. It was actually written after the original document of 95, so I tried to format it, change some formatting stuff, and then made them put it in that they have to go do all the functions of a patrol officer. And then all the additional jobs that an SRO does. So no real changes to that, just formatting real.
Approval of SRO position description.
Okay.
Motion by Jenny, second by Ted. Further discussion? Yes.
Okay.
All those in favor should go to the usual sign. It is unanimous. Patrol canine officer.
That is pretty much the same, same format that they had to do the same stuff. Except down in the compensation agreement, where it talks about $1,500, because it's in general, but the current one is $1,500. I just added unless or their higher rank. If they're above, like right now, Keith is a sergeant. He makes $3,000 as a sergeant. He's not taking an additional $1,500 on top of that.
So it's the higher of the two?
The higher of the two, yeah.
On this one, do you need to change reports to captain?
Good call. Good catch.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have some changes to definitions. Yeah, I meant that.
So you have money in that job description? What's in there?
K-9 officer?
Yeah.
K-9 officer has $1,500.
But it's listed in the...
in the job description.
It was, that's how it was listed. When you...
And I wonder if you should have money in there, because every time you amend that, you're going to have to go back and amend the salary. Or the,
would it be worthwhile to put something to say that...
whatever the job or
to reflected on the salary ordinance or something.
Okay. I mean, that's the way the job is described before, so I'm assuming that's how it...
Sure.
I could take that out. Yeah, I think maybe that... Cause Tom, I don't know if Tony developed this or not before. It had the 4 hours. The 4 hours.
Sure. That's good, because that's what it requires.
I can easily take out...
But just have it reflective of the salary ordinance, because
yeah,
that's where it would be. So,
okay.
Motion to approve the patrol canine officer with that change.
Second.
Motion by Ted, second by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Is Detective Sergeant next, I think?
Yes.
Think
so.
Okay.
And
Detective Sergeant.
Those are separate in your Dropbox.
Yes, I'm sorry, they're in your Dropbox, yeah.
And again, those are just more spelled out what they really do. I sat down with the detective sergeant and we went over them. We took the old job description and then we just clarified more what he does. And
so, Scott, we have a PDF version that has comments. I'm assuming from Chip.
It's just that it's not being dictated.
That's okay. So my question is, those things have not been added.
No, they were added. It's just, I don't know if I put the wrong version to write on that one or not.
Okay.
Those comments have been added.
So the only comment I think I'm seeing right now is under the qualifications section. It has advanced interview interrogation.
Yeah, those are all in there.
Those are all
qualifications that the sergeant should have, those advanced interview.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. They are ahead. There are... above that. We just have the comments on there.
Yeah, do you
see that in the...
I believe the comment.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I just didn't believe the comment.
Okay.
Bar off there.
That's fine.
And the detective...
Well, hold on. Approval of detective sergeant. A position description. Motion by Jenny, seconded by Chad. Further discussion. All those in favor, somebody use the sign. Detective.
The detective is the same thing except for the supervisory functions that the detective sergeant has. And then some of the qualifications are the lower level review classes and crime scene stuff. So.
Approval of detective position description. Motion by Pat, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. Chad, it's unanimous. Assistant detective.
An assistant detective is all the functions of the detective, but in the same as the probationary officer, is a learning function. Their task was learning all the skills of the detective. And so that's only real different. So they're supposed to be learning all those skills that qualify them to be a detective.
My only comment is I'd like to see all of the text in the same font.
It should be all.
Okay. Doesn't go that way, but that's okay. I'll trust you, Gregor.
And they're all supposed to be Roman 12 as well.
Assistant detective position description approval?
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Our agenda here. Okay.
Woohoo!
Made it through.
I think this is the most things we've ever done. I'm
setting a record.
Yeah. Mark.
Hi. My name's Mark. I'm the park director. Sorry to come here because I haven't been here forever.
Thank you, Mark.
My 6 month review is next week. Right. I had an Arby stuff here earlier too. Alright, so swimming lesson started yesterday. Seems to be going pretty well this morning. Good group of kids there. We are open to the pool this coming Sunday afternoon. With some restrictions, we'll be taking temperatures of everybody, a couple of our workers. We're not printing our chairs out. We're having people bring their own chairs. We have to have half our amount of people that can be there. And keep everything disinfected and clean. The water is proven to be, if your chemicals are right, it should kill the virus. So not worried about the water. We just got to keep everything outside clean, disinfected, and make sure the water is treated right. So Dan's just done a great job. Linda's been helping her too. So I think that they're ready to go. Lifeguards are ready to go. So kind of been a long time to get to this point. So on turfs, Sunday we'll start our first baseball tournament, softball tournament. We'll have full field Sunday, and then every weekend after that, it's going to be crazy busy with people renting our fields for baseball and softball tournaments. And then also starting next week on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, we'll have recreational league games, which are probably 80% of Columbia City kids that we're going to play in our league, but they're canceled. So they signed up in this rec league and we're hosting it. So it kind of worked out for those kids. So that's Tuesday. Our schedule is going to be Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's our game. So we'll have plenty of games to keep us busy. Concession stands, getting that ready. So we'll open Sunday. Again, staff's ready to go. Ben's done a great job getting them ready and getting the concession stand ready. Our roofs are on our dugout. The benches are in the new dugout, so those are what we have to do is put shingles up. It's for now we're in good shape, much better than what we were. And that's been a lot of done by Ontario, so I appreciate them putting a lot of work in doing all that for us. We are planning on starting construction. Well, we're moving toward getting our bathrooms renovated this fall. So the bathrooms, which includes the concession stand, turning that into a big men's and women's restroom, get rid of the porta potties, and then ordering a 30-foot concessions trailer that would house our concession stand, and then when we flood or need to move it somewhere else, we can just hitch it up and take it out. So we have that put together to should be finalized tomorrow with what it looks like. So I'm excited about that. It's been a long time coming. You know, the money we pay for porta potties, well, we don't have to do that anymore, which would be nice. So I want to tell you, too, we had a Veterans Marathon meeting. We're still planning on going with that November 14th. Hopefully that nothing changes, but our plan is to have that this fall. The playgrounds and the splash pad open Sunday. A lot of people call daily about that.
Assuming the governor allows the playgrounds to be open.
Yeah, exactly. So I've heard rumors both ways that that could change earlier, and I've heard it could change later. So I don't know what to expect. I think a lot of people assume that we set those dates. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
We've had several people get upset at us, and we try to explain that we're just trying to follow the governor's guidelines. So that's supposed to open this Sunday. Splash pads are considered playgrounds, what falls into that category. Our aerator in the pond is not working, so if anybody asks about that, fried right now. We'll be spraying the pond for weeds next week. Hopefully it kills them and looks better. Also, I got with Beth to work on a new job description for assistant park maintenance supervisor. We have a big issue right now that we need someone skilled, probably more skilled, to help Matt, our maintenance supervisor. He kind of has it all on his plate, and it's really hard. And we're supposedly getting a new person this fall, hopefully. And so I've met with Beth and kind of worked on that, those details. And then storage is an issue for us, which we've talked about before. Hopefully at some point we can get better at that. But anyway, that's my report.
Questions, Mark? Thank you. Kelly?
Earlier in the Board of Works meeting, we had our Phoenix Crossings bill. The engineer assessment for like 15 streets, I think we had, and some sidewalk. Eagle Trail is around $1,055,000. The lowest bidder was around $955,000. So that was good news. Obviously, we have to review with our engineers the bid and make sure things are good. And award it next meeting, I think, is set for it. So that was something that happened earlier tonight. And then now that we're all back together, we're starting to do some projects together now. Doing a couple concrete projects right now. And Troy was up here. City Hall. We're trying to work together to save some money on replacing the concrete in front of City Hall. Basically, the cross section will come out the front doors to the down the steps. So that meets the main sidewalk, and then from the fire station over.
few things we've been doing.
Question for Kelly. Thank you. Scott.
Okay, so for the hiring process, so we just did physical agility testing. We had several applicants. We were in the high 30s, and after initial background, we were down to 29 people that we invited to the physical agility and written test. Then Minneapolis happened, and I'm grateful that 22 people showed up. And of the 22 people, 16 passed the physical agility test, and then 11 passed the written test. So, of those 11, we invited them all for interviews, and one person seems to have a conflict that they can't make it. So we'll have 10 people that are coming for interviews on the 15th of June. There'll be a formal interview board, and then there'll be an informal interview board. We'll narrow it down from there, most likely. So we expect that we should at least have 6 to 7 solid candidates out of that by the time you interview, if they don't show up. So probably, I'm optimistic that we should both find some really good people out there. It's not as diverse as we started out. That's the way it is.
So is this for one position?
3 positions.
I'm sorry?
3? I guess I still have to ask, because we have the 2 retired. So we have Officer Chapman is retired in 2026. His paperwork in, he's got 20 years of service. And Trey Inglis, he's retired in 24 years of service. He's on big, they're both on permanent leave. I guess you'd call it vacation leave. They're at the point where they're taking vacation. Officer Inglis is now looking for part time. And then Sergeant Chapman, or Jeff Chapman, he's going to, he's farming. He decided that farming was the life for him. All the ones above. Those individuals will be gone here by July.
Right.
And I'll have to request, once we get it done, to request a hire for those positions. Evan Myers, he finally had to graduate from the academy. The COVID prolonged, they stopped the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy. He's been back for a while. They opened back up, and he social distancing finished up, and now he just has to take 40 hours of virtual learning next week. They sent us the information that Officer Denbo's class will start August 3rd. So it's going to be some sort of modified schedule for virtual learning. I think that's the way it's going to be for a while. They'll do some virtual learning to make their class sizes smaller so they have more space. So it'll be August 3rd through November 13th. And then Sergeant Metzger is no longer Sergeant Metzger. He's now Assistant Detective Metzger. Since that space was vacated when Detective Calhoun applied for a sergeant position and took the open sergeant position, and he figured out took a sergeant position because they were vacated by Sergeant Inslee and Sergeant Chapman. So there's been lots of, I guess you'd call it turbulence, but it seems that morale has increased quite a bit since some of the changes. So they like it a lot. I'm sure you're all aware of the peaceful vigil that occurred recently. That went quite well. We had 3 plainclothes officers, monitoring the low key. I was there, and the mayor was there. And then other officers stayed outside and helped handle the people that came to try to disrupt it a little bit. We took care of that outside there and made a couple traffic stops and chatted with them. And it sounds like several of the people on social media that had disrupted it have apologized and said they really didn't know that what they were actually protesting against was a peaceful vigil, and they've made apologies. So that was a good turnout. We were worried that it could get bad. We had plans set up with the state police and sheriff's department to assist us if there was some outside influences. And luckily, it was just local people, and they had a very pleasant Liberty County visual commission for it. That's all I have for now.
Question to Scott. Thank you, Scott.
If you haven't drove down Okeala, it started. I don't have a time date for that. I wish I did. Concrete should be poured by Friday, so figure another couple weeks after that. So we're moving forward on that. Pickles is set to open July 4th-ish. Tad, I'll let you do the recovery along with that. And other than that, I've got nothing else.
Okay, question of the chair. Thank you. Marsha.
Did you
get to
talk about the loans?
Yeah.
You said, okay. That was
just
one of you did
go.
Great.
I, he's on the board.
Oh, yeah.
Commission.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there nothing else, Marsha?
No.
I'll go to Tad then, since we're talking about it. So, go ahead.
We don't lose anybody. All right. So, the RUC, we've been working out of the last few meetings on putting together a financial, business recovery loan for release of all small businesses who have been impacted by the COVID-19. And so in our meeting earlier today, we kind of finalized it. I guess we really don't have to have the council approve it, but it's just basically to give small businesses with people with less than 5 employees the opportunity for a zero interest loan.
It's in your Dropbox, by the way.
That will up to $5,000 that we would loan them to regular, that they would have to start paying back from next July. So July 2021. Help them with, it's kind of like just a bridge loan to help them get over the hump. There's a few things, criteria that they have to do that they can't. They have to be at least been in business for a year. They have to be whether you're growing or at least sustained, because they can't, so we're going to get financial from them to prove where they are. They can't have qualified for the PPP loan or the disaster they can't receive either of those also. So, basically, really, looking smart, small business owners, a handful of employees that really need some help. And that'll come, so we are hoping that, tonight we'd be able to at least discuss it and make sure everybody's on board with it. So we can start processing applications for that as soon as possible. So I'm sure there's people who are in need for it. So.
And that's managed by RDC?
Yes, managed by the RDC. It's actually, it'll just be, myself and Scott, Dave, and Chip, on that to review those applications.
Anything, on my own premise, I know that folks in the parishes are all being offered to submit for the EID also, and they don't know if they have or not. You really don't need clarification. So that's the only thing, how we can say that on there, did you submit for this? Did you submit for that?
I was going to say, it's in your Dropbox. It says no, it just says, quote, no EDIL or PPP loans.
Yeah.
So I would assume, and again, I don't know, but I would assume that they could apply for this, and if they get EDIL, then just because not accept the money or pay it back.
Yeah.
So.
And with PPP, that's pretty much,
done
at that
point.
Right. And the EDIL, my company, we filed for that. They actually just finally ran our credit.
See, I have filed for mine. I don't see anything about it. I've been on a month ago, and I don't think it's 2 months.
Yeah. So I guess we can cross that bridge when we come to it.
Sure.
I mean, but I would just assume, and I know Chip's talked with some local businesses, and there's some of them are, they're struggling, and I think this would be a great way to. It's not a ton, but it would be, any little bit to help, especially someone who's struggling from month to month without, if they've been closed for the last couple of months. So,
did good.
Approved, generally?
I mean, do you have anything we have to vote on? We just want to present the answer, so, you know, we'll vote on this.
Yeah. So I said generally. Okay. Okay, have anything else, Pat?
We approved 4 of the 5 grants today also.
Every meeting today.
I think I left. I hope you noticed all the flowers downtown. The businesses, I did reach out to them again, and they've all been very gracious, even though it's been a rough couple months, and I've got a lot of donations for them. So it's very, very exciting for them. I just want to let you know that.
Thank you. Walter?
Nope.
Okay. A couple of things of note, just for your information. Farmers Market opened on Saturday. Had a ribbon cutting for that. I thought that went well. It seemed like there's a fair amount of people there, some with masks and some without, and she's probably going to have it just about every event for the rest of the year. But they're excited to reopen, and we were able to open up our bathrooms a couple of days early in order to accommodate that. So, bathrooms downstairs. Fair amount of time on Monday as well as Friday riding around with some of our police officers. That was actually, the Mondays were already scheduled prior to all the events of Minneapolis, but got a really good kind of firsthand look, kind of a reminder look. I had done this before, but not to this extent. Just at the different shifts and the different things that they do on each of those shifts and some of the specialties, and certainly, you know, watching our officers at work obviously we have a lot of new officers that have been here for 4 years or less. In fact, I think the majority of the department is 4 years or less, but I know they have big hearts and they're trying to do the best they can to serve our residents. I saw things like traffic stops as have to happen, but I also saw, you know, multiple officers trying to, and finally finding, a young 12-year-old girl who was just mad at her parents and decided to run. And they found her, and they sat down on the swing next to her, and it was not our park photo. But sat down on a swing and talked with her, and she calmly got in the car and was taken back to her parents. You know, just little stories like that that people don't see. It was just really good. And, you know, I could really pontificate about all the things happening right now. I'm not going to do that because I know you all want to get home. But I appreciate the fact that not only do our police officers deeply, deeply care about our community, but our residents deeply care about our police officers too. They really do. And, obviously we're in a really challenging time right now. As a society, figuring out what we're going to do long term. But I know that our officers, you know, just like you said, spending 2 hours with many of them now, I know our officers really do have the best interest of our residents at heart. And I think if you didn't look word for word through those position descriptions, you can see that we focus on making sure that our officers, when we hire them on, that they understand the position description, that we focus on the crime, we focus on crime prevention, we focus on community policing, and it's regardless of ethnic origin or race or background or anything like that. And I appreciate that we emphasize that in the position description. So that's, I think, all I'm going to say about that. We did have a US 30 meeting today. Appreciate some of the people in the room that were a part of that. Just as an update, the US 30 Coalition continues to move forward. We're doing a couple of different things to hopefully kind of strongly encourage the governor to make US 30 a priority into the future and not do Band-Aids. If you have not heard, by the way, Nicole, I don't know if you, I'm assuming you guys got a release on this, maybe you didn't, but the 508 project that was unanimously opposed at that meeting is going forward. So a J-turn, median U-turn is happening at 500 East, despite unanimous opposition from residents, businesses, school, et cetera, in that area. Really disappointing, and I am crafting an email to NDOT about that. But it is definitely a Band-Aid approach, and I'm very worried about what it's going to do to traffic on 400. This is a worse intersection than 500 is, in my opinion. So, in any case, just want to make sure you are aware of that. A bunch of other things are happening. Last thing I guess I'm going to say, since sidewalk was over, was already covered. I've mentioned this a little bit in the past, but the Coronavirus Relief Fund was created by the state of Indiana after the federal government gave them like $3 billion or some crazy number like that. And so they appropriated $300 million of that money to cities, towns, and counties across Indiana. So we each have kind of our own account, if you will, set aside, or money set aside. The challenge is only for reimbursement of non-budgeted COVID expenses. It is not for revenue replacement. So all the money we just refunded for Aquatic Center and softball and baseball during the Board of Works meeting does not count. We cannot get reimbursement for that. We can only get reimbursement for specific things that are laid out by the state of Indiana. I will tell you now, I think we have $297,000 or something like that for the site for the city of Columbia City. I will be surprised if we get reimbursed for even half of that because of the type guidelines. So I just want to be very transparent with you on that we're going to turn in everything we feel like qualifies. But don't be surprised if the majority of those funds, or at least half of those funds, go unspent because of the type guidelines the state of Indiana has put on. And I've notified our legislators about that. And the governor's kind of in charge of the money. Not blaming the governor, but it is his group of individuals that are making the decisions on that money. And so it is what it is. But I want to just let you know that we're going to try to get reimbursed for as much as we can that fits within the guidelines, and hopefully get some of those funds back. Besides that, Dan.
Boy, they're off topic. We're on North Main Street. Yes. I see they're placing trees, which is great, but I see where they're placing some of the trees in between the sidewalk and the curb.
Mm-hmm.
And I've past experience with that, when those things start to grow, it starts either busting the curb out or tearing up the sidewalk. Can they be placed on the inside of the sidewalk? I mean, inside the property line. I see a number of those, and I'm like, I don't know. I can see where it could have bust up or sidewalk.
Yeah, and I'm not sure.
There's an issue, too, I think, in the future that might need to be looked at coming off of Pearl Avenue.
Okay. Those three?
In front of TSC, there's one planted that right on that corner. Soon that thing gets any of these, I mean, it's not going to take long. That's going to be a blind spot. So.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll talk to, I'll talk to Teresa.
No.
Through the tree board. So the tree board are the ones that effectively pay for those trees to be planted, but I know our arborist is the one that chooses the location. So I'm going to have to, I'll go back and check on those and on your issue as well. And I know they have to be placed in the city's right-of-way. And obviously state right away in this regard, but I don't know that. So duly noted, and I will see what I can figure out on that.
It looks like they're getting ready to plant ASAP. So
I believe they received the grant.
Yeah, they received the tree grant. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not opposing the tree.
No, I know. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
But they're all over town.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
that's great.
Duly noted. Anything else? Nope. Jeff? Jay? Corey, any questions? Okay. And there's no audience here. So we'll call the meeting adjourned. Mark, I need you to please.